Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Welcome to our morning worship service. Great to see you all here. Happy Labor Day weekend. Father, thank you for this hour that we have gathered here in the name of Jesus to seek your face, to glorify your name, to lift his name on high in our midst. Father, what a joy on that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share. Praise God. We thank you so much that we, as he has risen, we shall rise. And we will have those eternal bodies, no more sin, no more sickness, all the former things passed away as is promised in Revelation. Thank you, Father, for the gospel. Thank you for the Lord's table that we'll be partaking of in just a little bit, where we remember the body and blood of the Lord Jesus that he gave for us on Calvary's cross that day. And because he did, each of us here who has put our faith and trust in him alone to save us are saved. We are on our way to heaven, and we have the Holy Spirit as a seal, as an assurance that that day will come. And it's as if we've been there already 10,000 years. It's that certain. And Father, we pray that we will live in the light of that, that our time together here today as we worship and as we pray together, as we hear the word proclaimed, and as we fellowship afterwards, we pray that in all of this, that we will be lifted closer to your throne, drawn closer to you, walk closer to you, encouraged, challenged, whatever we need. We pray that we would receive it with joy as you minister to each of our hearts by your Spirit. We commit this hour to you. Thank you for everyone who's here today. May your Spirit minister richly to each soul. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to be reading this morning from Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And beginning at verse 1 through verse 15. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took upon them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason has received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also, and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens. And receiving a commandment unto Silas, and Timotheus to come to him with all speed. They departed. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, how we thank you and praise you for your wonderful word. As we go through the book of Acts and see all of these marvelous things that are happening and the word of God going forth in power, Lord, how we pray that you might use your word today to speak to our hearts. Encourage us and strengthen us and help us that we might be able to live for you day by day. We pray for any who may be here today who do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that they might come to know him and know that God is so wonderful. Lord, may we love you. May we serve you. May we honor you in all that we do and say. We thank you, Lord, for each and every one who is here today and pray your blessings upon each one. We pray for those who cannot be with us today for one reason or another. Maybe some that are ill, some that are busy with other things, and we just pray that you will watch over them and keep them in your care. We do thank you, our Father, for this time of year when we celebrate Labor Day. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom to do our work and to be able to accomplish what needs to be done. And Lord, that you are with us to help us in every situation of life. We just pray that you'll give strength and help to each one. Lord, we pray for the missionaries this morning. It's a wonderful letter that Bob Trout has written, telling about the work there in Bogota, Colombia, and throughout that country, and the work that they've done there for so many, many years. Lord, now you know they are not able to go back there, but they are working with the retired missionaries and seeking to encourage them and help them and bless them. We pray for those who have served you in the past and are now beyond the ability to do it anymore. We pray that you'll just continue to strengthen them and bless them. Thank you for them and pray your blessings upon each one. We do pray, our Father, for our church here. We pray that you'll continue to help us and lead us as we seek to serve you. We think of the coming week. We pray for David Babu as he'll be with us, he and Abigail. On Sunday, we just pray that it might be a great time, and thank you for their ministry in India. And we pray, dear Father, too, for the work day on Saturday, that it might be a time of blessing, a time of working together and fellowshipping in Christ. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us. Lead us and help us in all that we do, that Christ might be glorified. We pray in his name. Amen. Let's turn back to Acts chapter 17 once again. Going through the book of Acts, we notice the Apostle Paul, and now Silas is his partner, along with Timothy, that they picked up over at Lystra, and they're going and visiting these different places that they've never been to before. Pioneer evangelism that they're working on here, and they're traveling in this way. We've seen the wonderful work that God did for his servants there in Philippi last week, and preaching the gospel and bringing people to a saving knowledge of Christ. What a wonderful thing it was. And now we're going to move with him down the Via Ignatia. This was the main road going towards Rome. And Thessalonica was right on the main highway. The main highway went right down through the city. Okay, so here they're right in the main part, and this was a major city, a large city, situated on this highway and on the way to Rome. And there were many Jews there. So we find here it's like it says, first of all, verse 1, they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica. Now, you know, that sounds like what? A little stroll down the road? It was over 100 miles that they went. On foot, I suppose. And 100 miles, 30 miles each way, Amphipolis and then Apollonia, 30 miles down the road, and then on to Thessalonica, another 30-some miles. About 100 miles they traveled in order to get there. Now why
Why do you think?
Paul didn't stop in Amphipolis and Apollos. Do you think those people needed to hear the message? But he was going for Thessalonica, which was one of the major cities, and this seems to be his main method of operation, right? He chose the points where there were more people and more influence. And then the people would go from there out to the other places with the gospel afterwards. He came in to get the most people reached, and then they would go out and evangelize. That's so important, isn't it? Sylvia was telling us in Sunday school this morning about the evangelism there in Westchester that this other church has. They're reaching people. Some agreeable, and some not so agreeable. So one man cursed them out, you might say, right? Telling them, you know, what are you people doing? You think you're better than we are? Right? Anyway, that's important. And that, you know, as I was thinking, where she was telling all the time, it's just the same thing that Paul and Silas were doing. They didn't always get a good reception, did they? Last week they went to prison, right? They went to Philippi and the Philippian jailer and all of that. And he got converted along with his whole family. And the church was established there with Lydia, the other lady that was demon possessed, that was set free. What a wonderful time. Huh? He could have gone on by and not even gone to Philippi. And here we find him coming to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue. Now, Philippi, there was no synagogue. They had to be down by the riverside, remember? But here, there is a synagogue, and this was Paul's main process, was to go in first to the synagogue, and he had the privilege of expounding the Word of God to them. That's a wonderful thing, because he had been a rabbi or whatever, right? And maybe even in the leadership of the Jewish religion. And now here he is, able to go in and proclaim the gospel, you know?
We have to use the methods that we have, right? Whenever we have the opportunity to spread the good news of salvation in whatever way we can, is to reach out. And this is what Paul was doing. It said, and Paul, verse 2, as his manner was. This is a regular routine. Right? He went into the synagogue and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. He lasted 3 weeks. Here, they only met him on the Sabbath day, on Saturday. And so he went these 3 weeks and proclaimed the gospel message to them. And what was he preaching them? What did it say? He reasoned with them out of the scriptures. See? That's what we endeavor to do, right? Reason out of the scriptures. If you look someplace else, you're going to get a different message, aren't you? And I think some places they do give a different message. But this is the one that the Apostle Paul gave. He opened up the Word of God and he expounded to them what it was saying. And that's what we're seeking to do here. He says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He's the one you've been waiting for, right? The Jewish people looking for a Savior. They think, someday we're going to be set free. And Paul says, okay, here we are. He's already come. And he died on the cross for you. And he arose again from the dead. We're going to be celebrating that at the end of the service this morning. Thinking about all that Jesus has done for us in providing salvation through his precious blood. So he reasoned with them from the scriptures. They were not his idea, but God's word. I want to look here in 1 Thessalonians
chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. See some of the things that Paul was talking about. In verse 9, and he says to these Thessalonian people in his letter, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God," the good news about God. "You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who has called you into his, unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." So we see the ministry that Paul had. It wasn't only on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. He says, night and day, we worked among you, working and seeking to help you, and you are witnesses how we live. You see, these missionaries, they lived righteously. He says how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you. How important is it, huh, for ministers of the gospel to live righteously, holily, and to serve God faithfully. That's what he's saying here. It's so important in order for people to believe. You know, when we live any kind of way we want to and live in sin and all of that, who is going to believe us? Nobody. I know all this but the hypocrites of the church, right? Yeah, the trouble we are. But anyway, that's beside the point. No, he says we live a righteous way in your sight, and we've made a special effort to make sure that you understand the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, and the salvation that we have through believing in him. Right? That's what it's all about. He said, opening and alleging the truth. I had a reference here from Luke 24. Take a look at that. Luke 24 and verse 25. Here's our word of the Lord Jesus talking to the men on the way to Emmaus, you remember? And what does it say? Luke 24 and verse 25. "Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would go further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening. And it came to pass, as he sat at the meat with them, he took bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Jesus used that method. He opened up to them the scriptures, and they understood, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. So we see here Paul is using the same method that Jesus used, opening up the scriptures to the people and getting forth his message. And it says, he preached unto them Jesus. And verse 4 says, some of them believed. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody would believe? I guess that's a pipe dream, isn't it? He says, some of them believed and consorted with Paul's house, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. Okay? Some of the Jews, in other words, a great number of the Gentiles, and of the chief women, not a few. So there were quite a group that heard this message, even the ones that are in the synagogue, some of the Greeks that were perhaps proselytes, or they were there to see more about the true God. And Paul was able to reach them. So he gave them the scriptures, how the Messiah would suffer and bleed and die and rise again from the dead. And Christ must arise from the dead. This Jesus, he said, whom I preach unto you, is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And they have their reaction. Some believe. Many of the God-fearing Gentiles believe. And some vigorously opposed. We've seen that before. After we go through this book of Acts, we see that there's always opposition. Right? And you know that. Whenever you try to witness to somebody, some of them might believe you, some of them might be nice to you, and others might say, get out of here! You know, they don't want to hear. And that's the way it was here. The ones who opposed, verse 5, notice. The Jews who believed not, moved with envy. There's probably some of the leaders in the synagogue, and they saw these other people being accepted. Oh my, he's got this message that they're bringing. And they said, we're going to lose our power. Hey, wasn't that what happened to Jesus? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were afraid they were going to lose their power. And that the Romans would come in and take over more than they were. So anyway, we find here envy. It's a terrible thing. And but it says, the Jews who believed not moved with envy took unto them certain. I love this phrase. I really do. And in the King James Version, certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Can you picture them? Yeah, this is the scum of the earth, right? The rabble, these people, you know, these are the bad, bad news, right? In a year, they took some of them and brought them out to have a riot. We don't have that today, do we? Oh my goodness! We had all this trouble, people persecuting the Jewish people, all these college students are supposed to be so refined. And what caused the day trouble? Going in, desecrating the temples and writing on the walls and all these kind of things, and even attacking some of the Jewish students. So it's still going on, isn't it? Man is who he is, right? And we have to realize that. But we still take the gospel. And a balloon fellows of the basis of what I get. And he gathered the company and set all the city in an uproar. They started rioting. Yeah. And assaulted the house of Jason. Jason was the one who had taken in Paul and Silas and the others and given them hospitality. No doubt a believer. Along with certain other brethren, they took them and arrested them. And took them to the rulers of the city, crying. This is another expression I love. It says, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. These people causing all kinds of trouble. Here they are bringing this message. And it's causing people to change. What are we going to do about it? And these that have turned the world upside down. You know, that's a good thing, because the world is already upside down. Paul and them were trying to make it up the right way, you see, to show them the truth and how the Lord Jesus would change their life and give them what they needed, spiritually and in every other way. So anyway, we find here Jason and his family, or his household, are getting into trouble with these people simply because they took in the missionaries. It's like over in that little epistle of John where Diotrephes opposed taking in the missionaries. You remember that? I think it was Gaius, but I might have the story mixed up a little. But anyhow, they wanted to take in the missionaries and show them hospitality, and this leader in the church, he can't do that. You know, he wanted to be the big man. And this is what they're doing here, trying to keep things the way they are and not allow Christ to be a difference in the lives of these people. So that's what they're doing. And their opposition goes on here. And they take Jason to the leaders, and they trouble the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So, it says they took security of Jason. I guess they had to pay down a certain amount, like a, what is that they call that? A bail? When you get out of prison or something. It sounds like that's what they did. They caused them to pay a fine, and then they let them go. Meanwhile, we find the brethren sent Paul and Silas away by night. Sometimes that's the best way to go, isn't it? You know, avoid trouble as much as you can, right? I find Paul doing that. I mean, he got into enough trouble as it was, but at night they got away and they went to Berea. And Berea was quite some distance away, but they were, well, since in my notes here, about 46 miles southwest of Thessalonica. It was more of an out-of-the-way place, inland from the sea, and that then was more a peaceful, easygoing lifestyle. So they weren't quite as agitated as the ones in Thessalonica, I guess. And so they allowed Paul and Silas to come in and to teach them in the synagogue. And they came to them, and let's see. Yeah, who coming thither went into the synagogue, verse 10. Synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They were more willing to listen. They were more reasonable in their approach. They received the word with all readiness of mind. You know, when people do that, it usually makes a big difference. If a person is willing to read the Bible and understand it, they will believe and trust in Christ. And here are these people, many of them at least, were willing to listen to what was said. And so they were more noble in that sense. They had readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily. You know, they met once a week in the synagogue, right? But these people were interested enough to day by day study the scriptures for themselves to see if they're telling the truth. And I think that's biblical. We're trying to do that. It's a study of scriptures. That you might know that it is the truth, and that you might understand it. For it tells us that we should read the Word of God day by day. Right? Not just on Sunday. You need to read it for yourselves. Make sure that the preacher is not telling you something that's not true. Right? And to rejoice in the things of God. So here, he said they received all readiness of mind, and they searched the scripture daily, whether those things were so. So it was something new for them. They said, let's check it out. Therefore, many of them believed. You see that? Because they looked into the Word of God, many of them believed. That's where it happens. That's what you have to do. Get people into the Word of God. Adam mentioned it in Sunday school, listen. He said, this man, he's not got a book for him. You know, this guy was causing so much trouble. The Bible. Get into the Bible. And he will, and it will speak to you. And he said that many of them believe. And it says also there are more women, which were Greeks, and of the men not. So once again, these Gentile people were also willing to receive the Word of God. And it made a big difference. So, everything's going great, right? And Berea, you see that? Here they're reading the Word of God, they're getting saved, and God is blessing, and what happens? Verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the Word of God was preached to Paul and Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Yeah? Agitators, right? Here they are. They're not content to let these other people listen to the Word of God. They're against them reading the Bible. And so here they come and try to make things, you know, maintain the status quo. Let's go get involved in something else, right? And here is stirring up. And it says, the brethren, once again, sent Paul to go away. Sent him out to sea. He sailed away somewhere. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. So Silas and Timotheus are going to stay there and continue to teach the people. And Paul is going somewhere else. Because he's the main speaker. And so when he leaves, then things quiet down. So what does Paul do? It says they conducted him to Athens. They conducted him to Athens. Athens, the major city in Greece. We'll take that up next week. We'll stop. We'll finish with Thessalonica and with Berea. And we see that God is doing a mighty work. So when God's word is preached, each person has to make a decision. Either to believe it, to obey what it says, or to reject it and oppose the truth that it teaches. That's what it's all about. And some actively oppose it. Others do so by neglect. Oh, well, I'm not going to read the Bible. I already know that. I don't need to read it. No, just leave it go. If we believe God's word, we should spread it abroad, as those early Christians did, and seek to reach as many as possible. Get them into the Word of God. That's what we need to do, right? So may the Lord bless His word to our hearts as we are now going to have the communion service in just a moment. You are with us to help us and guide us in every situation of life. And Lord, I pray that you'll look down upon us today if there's anything in our hearts that should not be there. We pray that you'll help us to confess that and forsake it. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
How we thank you that we are saved by the grace of God. We have eternal life through believing in you. And we pray that you'll help us to walk in fellowship with you and do your will. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the word of God as it goes forth. We pray that we might be able to reach others with the truth of the gospel. And Lord, guide and help us now as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, thinking about our Lord Jesus and what he's done for us. Pray in his precious name. Amen. The disciples were having the Last Supper with the Lord Jesus, and at one point he took the bread and he took the wine, and he gave it a symbolic meaning. He said, "This bread is my body, which is broken for you. This juice is my blood that is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Let's all stand.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can worship you this morning. We thank you for all that we have in Christ Jesus, and we pray your blessing upon each one of us as we go our separate ways. Bless us this holiday, God, that we might enjoy a nice day, and that we might honor you and magnify you in all that we do. Help us to be good witnesses for you in everything that we undertake. May Jesus Christ be praised. We pray in his name.